God's going to move in a powerful way. And we're not going to stop it. We're going to push today. We're going to push. See what God can do in a short amount of time. Amen. So Brother Aaron's going to come and start us off with sharing the scripture, preaching, whatever he's going to do. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Scripture I want to share with you can be found in 1 Samuel 17:25 and 26. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men and stood by him that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defy the armies of the living God?" You see, David was the one who saw the true picture. When everyone else saw a giant ready to kill them, all David saw was a man standing in the way, ready to be destroyed, because he was defying the armies of the living God. God saw this man named Goliath defying his people and defying him. So God sent a man, the future king of Israel, because David was a man who trusted God and stood for what's right. Even when everything seemed hopeless, David stood for what was right and stood for God. We need to be like David and stand up for what's right. Stand even in the face of complete fear. Even when everyone else won't stand, we need to stand. Not being ashamed of the gospel, but standing on it and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. If God has made you a promise, then stand on it. And don't be discouraged when it doesn't come on your time, but get excited because it's coming on God's time. And he is going to fulfill the promise that he has given you. Moving on down to 1 Samuel 17:48-51. "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, and that stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth." So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in David's hand. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion dead, they fled. David was able to face the giant because God stood with him. And the reason God stood with David is because David stood for God. So, you see, if you stand for God, if you keep his commandments, then God will always, always stand with you. So will you be like the Israelites and hide in fear? Or will you be like David and not take what this world throws at you? Or what giants stand in your way? But will you stand your ground for God and on his promises? Because God says, don't fear the giant, face it.
Let's give God praise for that word. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are winning. You know what David realized? He saw with his eyes that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And he's defying my God. See, when we face things, if they're defying our God, then we just stand and God goes with us. We're almost guaranteed victory. If it's not defying me personally, it's defying my God. If you're speaking against my God, then I know for a fact that I can go in the name of Jesus Christ, and he's going with me and before me. Amen. That's what he did with David. It's the will of God for us here today. My dad preached that great sermon about David's dad not thinking he was hero or king material, and then his son or his brother not thinking he was soldier material, and then Goliath not thinking he was hero material. And all three proved wrong. It's so powerful. Thank you, Aaron. Just want to speak real quick about our trip. Thankful for all the prayers that you guys sent our way and prayed for us. Even fasting. I can't tell you how much that means to me to find out people were fasting for me as I was ministering there in Spokane. We didn't necessarily realize what kind of ministry we were fixing to step into. It was more of a kind of a vacation slash I'll speak a little bit, but you know, I'd rather hear my brother preach because he's my favorite preacher. Well, things changed quickly, even on the airplane ride there and even before. And I just want to say this right now, that I'm not in competition with anyone here, not in competition with anyone in ministry, anyone out here. It's such the depth of anointing and authority that God allowed me to walk in is something that was so such a serious kind of weight on your shoulders that you can't do it by yourself. And so not being in line with God completely is it's almost a guaranteed fail. You won't be able to carry the weight. God has so much anointing and a weight of responsibility and authority that he'll put on our shoulders when we're following him that we can carry that no one else could carry. And we can't carry it on our own. That's the whole story, in my opinion, of Peter walking on the water. The whole lesson there is when you're walking in deep waters, you're only going to be able to do it holding on to God's hand. That is the absolutely only way. So anyone that's been in church any amount of time has experienced people rebelling against authority and people, church splits, terrible things happening. Most time it occurs when somebody comes in and starts questioning what the leadership's doing. When someone ever questions what our leadership's doing, that's a big warning sign. That's something we don't allow. We can't allow that ever to begin to be spoken. I want if he just did this, or I wonder why he's doing that. You know, it's always with good intentions, supposedly. But the New Testament talks over and over again about wolves, sheep's clothing, false prophets, and the damage that can do to a church is a very real thing. And then the spiritual attack it can do on ministry, it can make you sick physically. We define it sometimes as the spirit of Jezebel. There's four spirits in the New Testament. Jude mentions three of them, and that's Abel, Cain, killing Abel, so killing your brother, spirit of Cain. Korah, he went up against Aaron and then Moses, thinking that they took too much on themselves. I'm anointed too, and so I should have ministry too. So why does he get to preach? Or why does Jeff Bartlett always get to play the keyboard? I can play the keyboard too. And so then you start making those divisions in the church. And then you got the spirit of Balaam, who was a prophet that used his giftings to try to curse Israel. He couldn't, but he was doing it for gain, for like monetary gain. And then in Revelation, it talks about spirit of Jezebel. And so when that gets into a church, and I'm not saying it's here, I'm just relaying to you guys the weight of what you guys helped me carry and Megan carry. When you get into that kind of a situation, then the spirit of witchcraft is really what becomes the main stay in that kind of an environment. And so it attacks your mind, and you cannot, sometimes you can't even concentrate, or you can't even see your way through, and you're struggling, and you're wondering why. And it's rebellion that's set in a church. People coming in and sowing discord among the brethren, which God hates. Proverbs, God hates it. So that had taken place in my brother's church, and I knew that by knowledge. I'd been up here while it happened. And so I go to minister, and God began to move on me in a way that it was something I had never experienced before. And so I would never have anything necessarily to preach or notes. I would just sometimes have a thought or a scripture, and then I would just have to trust God and go from there. And God immediately because of his will, God's will for Spokane right now is to have a mighty outpouring of his spirit. And so he's never going to do anything outside of alignment. And so spiritual authority has got to be put in place. It's got to be recognized, and it's got to be enforced. You know, when you have revealed truth must be acted upon, yes or no. You don't have a choice. Once it's revealed to you, you have to make that decision. And then you live with the consequences, or you gain. So my twin brother and I, you know, we fight all the time, have always had that kind of relationship, but whenever someone comes against my brother, I see red, you know? Like, I remember in football, we had a good friend, Jeff Baker. He was the biggest guy on the team. And in scrimmage, he rolled on Greg, and Greg's knee hyperextended. So all I heard was him scream. And I turned around, and Jeff was coming up. You know, he didn't know what happened. And I just immediately started punching him in the helmet. Like, I was trying to hit him in the face, but his helmet was there blocking my way, and I would just flip my lid. And that was our good friend and the biggest guy on the team, but it didn't matter to me. So I have that kind of a relationship with Greg, but then you move into the spiritual element here. And in my flesh, when I was hearing about what was going on, I wanted to do things a different way. When I got up there, the first Sunday, God spoke a promise to him, and then that I called for a special service on Thursday and asked for all the church to be there. And God literally took all my emotion away. Like, I couldn't feel any kind of, like, my physical emotions. And so I couldn't get riled up or thinking about what I was fixing to talk about. God took that away from me. It was such a miraculous thing for me. And so I just sat up there and I just spoke what God had told me to speak to them. And there was public repentance God required for secret things spoken. And it was their one chance. God gave them a chance. And so I spoke death. That's a pretty heavy weight. But in that one service, with me just speaking, not even this much emotion, with me just speaking it, I had my brother and his wife right behind me. I required people to come up one by one and repent. And that one service, the turnaround that took place in the spirit world, incredible. That church right now is like on their way forward. It's just been such an immediate breakthrough. Not in Holy Ghost, not in that kind of atmosphere. I'm talking about revival in the church, getting back in alignment. Such a beautiful thing. And that wasn't me. I realized afterwards I had, through your guys' prayers, I'd stepped into a place of apostolic authority that I wouldn't even mention to you guys because it'd be hard to explain. But I realized it afterwards. If I had even known it before that, I probably would have hesitated. My brother said, this shakes me up a little bit. My brother said, because he was bound by it, the fear that was in his house when I showed up to his home was that it's the witchcraft. It's like the spells, it's little curses. Who knows what it is, but it ties you up. And so he's scared of it. He's scared of offending anybody or saying the wrong thing because of what's going on. And he said, it broke. It broke when I did this. With that authority, that spirit broke when I came behind the pulpit to start doing what God had me do. This is how I can explain it. In the military, you have officers, you have NCOs. So you can have an E-9 sergeant major in the military, in the Army, and a little second lieutenant, Butterbar, comes along, they have to salute. And so that spirit that had bound up that church, it recognized an authority higher than it, stepping up and beginning to take control, and it knew it was gone. It knew it was over. That was because of your guys' prayers, because of fasting in it. I can't tell you how appreciative I am of that. That was such a, I'm so, experiencing that has made me so hungry for more apostolic revival, apostolic ministry, where people's lives are changed, where churches are changed, and where people's minds become clear, and then things happen. Like the last service we had there, God given me a kind of a revelation on foot washing without washing feet. And so I'd set up chairs, and I would have them, and they would come and ask, like I'd say, Sister Sherry, can I want to wash your feet. I want to pray for you. And they would bring you up, you'd sit down, and then I'd kneel down at your feet, and I'd pray for you. And I had that take place so men, wives and husbands could pray together. And so men and men, women and women, and I didn't require anybody to. I said, this is what God wants to do to start this service off. I cannot tell you the unity that exploded in that place over something so simple. It's going to be basic stuff here that brings us into that dimension of revival. We don't have to worry about anything fancy. We have everything we need right here in this church. We have so much talent, and then we have so much hunger. We don't need to do anything different. Old-fashioned, like what? Foot washing? Give me a break. That's almost everything I did. Greg afterwards said, if you'd have told me you're fixing to do that, we'd have had a fight. I'd have argued with you. And so that's why he didn't want to know. But everything was so God-ordained. That wasn't me. I couldn't think of that kind of stuff. I ended up teaching for 2 hours and 45 minutes on a prayer night or a prayer day. What? I didn't have one single note. I was just rambling on and rambling on and rambling on. But it was speaking to them, things I had no idea of. Such a beautiful thing. And all you guys are part of that. And just think of the lives that have been changed. So beautiful. Thank you. Seriously, thank you. There was a lady, and that was one thing. My brother gave me complete authority or complete control over whatever I wanted to do. So I could start the service like this or however. He let me just do it. And we were thinking like afterwards, like if other churches would, like when an evangelist came into town, like say have the Bartletts come into town, how much talent they have, like just giving them the service. Like you guys do whatever you feel, music, preach, whatever. What kind of ministry could take place in our churches? Man, that I really believe that was probably the main thing that allowed God to work through me, a very untalented vessel, to do that, was the fact that Greg let me do whatever. And so my sister-in-law plays the keyboard, and so she has her little thing of song she sings. And so I don't care most of the time, you know. She'd ask me, and I'd be like, whatever, you know. But on the second Sunday, I think, I was like, well, let me see your book. So I was flipping through it, and I found this old song, and I was like, can you play that? At some point, we'll probably play this. And it was, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. So I wanted that to, I was like, can you sing that? Just random, you know. I felt, ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. We need to play this song here. Well, there was a lady, a pastor's daughter, who had been backslidden for many, many years. I didn't know anyone there, really. And she had come. And when that song began to be sung, her dad, before she backslid, would sing that song every altar call. And that brought her right back to those moments. And it was such a powerful, powerful prayer of deliverance that she came, when she came up sobbing, God restored her. Such a beautiful thing. That was like a God-ordained moment just for her. Like, I didn't feel any Holy Ghost. I just randomly picked that, and Melinda played it beautifully, and it was right for her. That's what's going to happen today for us. When Jeff comes up, Brother Jeff comes up, and the team begins to sing here in a few minutes, it's going to be ordained for us, like for you, Thomas. This is ordained for you. Brother Bartlett's been teaching when he preached on Thursday about Ruth and about being empty and getting filled. How many of us heard that and left empty? We come to these moments here. Like, I know all of you. I feel comfortable with every single one of you. But God begins to move, and then do we shut ourselves off? Or do we express ourselves and worship to God to a certain level and then stop? Because then that becomes too much. And so then Brother Bartlett and the team, with their anointing, it begins to rock here. Or even with the slow songs, power of God begins to come, and we go. Back off. The next service. Back off. How many God-ordained moments do we not recognize or we don't perceive for ourselves? When we got this group that we trust and we love each other, so there is absolutely nothing that can stop us from going deep except us. So I know for me, this is a daily thing I need. We need the flow. We need to be filled up and have that flow going, or we turn into cisterns, which we know pretty soon it becomes rotten. Pretty soon it has that filth in it. And so then I'm talking to you, Annette, and I'm giving you advice, and it has filth in it. That's why we don't take everyone's advice, right? You got a flow, it's clean, it's coming pure. But when we're stopped up, we have something blocking that, or we're empty. I'm giving you advice, Brother Abbott, but it has that poison in it. Whether I mean to or not, it's coming out. And we have these moments here, and we're fixing to have a moment here where we can go very deep. We can get everything we need filled to overflowing. The beauty of tears just by itself, if you can cry, that relieves so much pressure in your spirit. Hence the reason God made tear ducts, right? We have them for a reason. Men, we have them for a reason. Just that alone can bring relief. How much more the renewing of our spirits and our minds through the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, and then not, like I went at their church, I went and bought a bunch of cheap handkerchiefs, and I have put a box right there in the middle. It's like, we don't need excuses. That's one thing that stops people from going deep sometimes. All of a sudden, snot starts to come down, and so they stop. Like, we need to become prepared to go. Like, nothing's stopping me. I don't care how stupid I look. I can just stiff, like, this stops it. No one can see it now. Little things stop us from getting that boom. I was feeling something towards the men, but I don't know if I'm going to say it now. How often is it with this church here especially? And I'm not judging it, not at all. Just any visitor could come and look. And it's the women that carry the burden of this every service. I mean, we have the music. So we have Brother Jeff Mayo playing, Jordan Mayo playing, AJ Mayo playing. But when it comes to the reaction in the spirit, women are carrying that burden. Okay, I will say it. Nehemiah 4, when he had come to build the walls of Jerusalem, which we know in Galatians 4, that Jerusalem is the mother of us all. So in types and shadows for us in the New Testament, Jerusalem would be a picture of the church. So Nehemiah's come to rebuild the walls 14 years after Ezra has come to do and repair the temple. So it's kind of in between there. And they're building the wall with great opposition. So in chapter 4, verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. You know, the Hebrew for were made up means healing went up upon the walls. Picture that in this church, spiritual Jerusalem here. Healing went up. We always think immediately of physical. But in that sense, healing, I'm talking about everything being strengthened and restored. So families getting in alignment, spiritual authority in families being in alignment. So men leading the families, men praying, spiritual covering over their families. Is that our responsibility as men? Mm-hmm. And so they saw that they were, I'm going to say it, healing went up upon the walls. And so they became very wroth. And verse 8, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, set a watch against them day and night because of them. That's powerful in itself right there. But verse 10, and Judah said, this is where I'm coming to, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. That word decayed means to stumble, stagger, or totter. God forbid in Sterling, the growth that Sterling has experienced as a body, God forbid that we plane out, and then the people that are carrying the burden that we allow to continue to carry the burdens every service begin to get tired, physically tired even. We begin to totter and stumble. It's a very serious thing. So Nehemiah, what's Nehemiah do? I'm going to jump to 13, verse 13. This is how he solved this problem, or began to. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families. So he's talking about men. With their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, or men, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Here's the heaviness of the next part. Why do we do this? Men, what's our responsibility? And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Women carrying the burdens of a service, being the ones that respond, which is, that's good and that's correct. That's how it should be. But men, are we doing our part? I'm scared to death. I'm going to get personal. It scares me to think of someone like Sherry. This church, if something happened to Sherry, then you look at it and you're like, then what? Sensitivity of Annette coming up and worshiping, and because people see that and it helps break walls down for them. Like if I see Greg French, you start crying, and I have any kind of emotional attachment to him, it's usually going to cause me to get a little emotional too. And so people need to see us responding to the music or responding to worshiping God, which is our first responsibility when we come here, is worshiping God, thanking God. Who cares about anybody else initially? It's Jesus, I'm so thankful for what you've done for me. And so I am going to give you not a sacrifice physical, not a sacrifice like we like to think now in this world. Like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to really sacrifice here. No, this is our priestly duty right here. This is what we're doing. We are offering holy sacrifice when we're praising. The sacrifice of praise is not a sacrifice. It is ministry to God. So when we come to this church, that's our first responsibility. We get in tune with what the flow of the Spirit. There's always a flow of the Spirit. There's always a direction for every service. And our responsibility is to come ready to get in the flow and follow the leading of the music and then respond to the music so there can be a combined flow. So our women do such a great job with that, the sensitivity they have. And I'm not saying, men, you have to cry. You don't have to come up here and sob, even though there's nothing wrong with it, and it's very powerful. But are we doing our part, men? Like, that's what I worry about. God forbid Sherry and Annette and other people, Phoebe, go on vacation at the same time. Then it's like, oh, my goodness, it's going to be tight today. I don't know if we'll have any kind of a move of God. Wow. I'm not being offensive to you ladies. I'm just using some examples. But I mean, is that truth, though? Men, if we had all men's day here, would we have a move of God? Like, would there be a flow? Or are we too manly, too masculine to open up a little bit. That's a pretty heavy responsibility. And when we come before God, Brother Abbott, I know for a fact that God's going to hold me accountable for prayers or examples that I've made for my family, or the lack of it. How come you weren't praying a spiritual covering over them when you're the priest of your home? How come you weren't exercising your authority and doing that? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? I'm going to be held accountable for that. I truly believe that. God forbid, we've been blessed with the ability to fight. We're aggressive for a reason. God gave us that. So when we come into a service, we use that. And that when that's combined, who knows what kind of power there will be in our services. And then the unity of families. You know, it's just a blessing for me even to have Megan take care of the kids when I'm ministering. If it wasn't for her doing that, I couldn't do anything. And so even that unity is such a blessing. But when we're out of that and we come to church, it's a struggle. Absolute struggle to get in line with God, to get in the flow when you're like going through what you just had a fight over. And winning the argument again in your head, or, you know, all that real important stuff, instead of getting in the flow with God. Because it's not just about us. I'm sorry if I'm boring you. It's not just about us. When we come to service, it could be someone's last chance, but we didn't engage. And so that moment, that God-ordained moment, like that song for that woman that came to the service, I don't know how many years she'd been backslidden, but it had been quite a while, obviously, if that song was fresh on her mind. Because that's a pretty old song, if I remember right. It's eternity that we're playing with here. And we're the body, so, you know, we think of the corporate body, the world body, but then the sterling here, we're a body. So we all need to be working together. So our women lead the way. Are they experiencing the protection and strength of the men? I just want you guys to think about that. I'm not condemning you. I'm talking to myself also. Because Sterling has grown. We haven't grown in number yet. But God strengthens the body first, or we aren't going to be able to handle any growth. We'll crumble. So when we are fixing now to enter into worship, we're doing this backwards. There's going to be a powerful move of God. The women are already in tune. They're already crying when I'm talking. So we're going to have a powerful move of God. And the men, we're going to be sensitive also. We're not going to be afraid to show emotion, or afraid to do step out, or afraid to pray for our families, or afraid to get prayed for. That's another thing that's great about the body that we sometimes miss, I think. I've said it before, is that not appreciating our brother when they pray for us. Like, what do you have to give me? Well, God had it in store for you to get what you needed, but you just close your spirit off to him. So we're open to everyone praying for us. Anyone can minister to me, as long as you're biblical, of course. Don't get weird on me. I'll stop you. No, don't start barking like a dog, man. I'll put a leash on you real quick. Never mind. It's seemingly little things that are so important for us. Even just supporting our wives and allowing them to continue pushing is a huge thing. Not. If we have a schedule that we're supposed to keep after Sunday, we should probably just think about giving it a couple of hours leeway there so they can continue pushing instead of feeling like they have to stop. Because they might be an intercession for another kid here in this church, or they might be birthing something in the spirit that this church absolutely needs. But if we stop that, we can't support them and allow them to do that. Stops that also. And we don't get jealous of our wives either. They're more sensitive. They're born that way. And our wives don't think they're super spiritual towards us because we aren't as sensitive. We're a team. Balance. Amen. And alignment. All under authority of our pastor. Can we give our pastor and Sister Glover a hand? Brother Bartlett, going to come and I'm giving him the rest of the service, so he's going to do what he feels now, and I'm going to respond myself. Let's experience the power of God. We'll probably put out the tithes and offering later, or however Jeff wants to do it, if we do it that way, and then I don't usually dismiss people, so if you need to leave, you leave whenever you need to leave, because I always forget, so, amen. Brother Jeff.
Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Sister Becca mentioned this song right off the bat this morning, and we've got to sing this. It's because of who you are. I give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just start with our hands raised?